Welcome to another episode of Let's Chat With. Joining me is Ventriloquist, educator, famous TikToker, YouTuber, and head of Rocky Mountain Puppets, Megan Casey. How are you today, Megan?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. As I mentioned before, you're a ventriloquist. For those who don't know, what is a ventriloquist?
So a ventriloquist is when you can make a puppet talk without moving your lips. And I do have a few characters here, so I can kind of show an example for those of you that don't know what a ventriloquist is. This is one of my main characters. His name is Aiden. He's a four-year-old dinosaur that likes marshmallows. So,
hi, Aiden. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good.
What's up, Aiden? My
lips. She's my owner. Yeah, she makes me talk. She just had me laying on the couch.
So you're relaxing today, are you, Aiden?
Yeah, I'm being lazy.
Megan, what is the correct term for these? Are they called dummies, dolls, or puppets?
I call them puppets.
Yeah, that's what we like to be called.
Yeah, call them puppets. There are some other ventriloquists that refer to them as characters, refer to them as dummies. I don't like the term dummy because, like, dumb. I don't know. Yeah. I don't like referring to that.
You call me dumb?
See? They get
it. You're not dumb, Aiden. No, you're not.
I'm not dumb. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yes.
That's a general... Yeah, I use puppets, though, a lot when I'm referring to them.
So how old were you when you got started?
I was 5 years old.
Man, you're a year older than me. Aiden's only four.
He's only four.
Uh-huh. I'm constantly 4 years old.
Yeah, he's constantly 4 years old. But yeah, I got started when I was 5 years old. My dad is the one who got me into it.
It's a funny story.
Yeah, my dad, he used to read to me a lot using puppets. And then I saw his lips move when I was five. You're making them talk. He's like, no, I'm not.
He's not. We're real.
Yeah, he was making them talk. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to learn how to do that. So then I picked it up and I learned from this course called Mayer Course of Advanced Ventriloquism. It's by this ventriloquist named Clinton Detweiler. He has this whole thing on the Ventriloquism 101, basically. It has 32 little books that teaches you everything and anything about ventriloquism. I completed that when I was 6 years old. And I performed for the first time at the Bent Haven Ventriloquist Convention that's held in Cincinnati, Ohio. I haven't been in quite a few years. I think they changed the location of it. Eastern side of the United States, I know, is where it still is. I used to perform there all the time. Then I got Aiden when I was 16. And that's kind of when my whole ventriloquist career took off, is when I got this puppet.
Yep, I made her known.
Cool. What were some of the first things you had to learn?
Some of the first things I had to learn, I had to say the alphabet. So the alphabet was the first thing I had to do. So it was like, yeah, you just had to use that. I wish I had a popsicle stick here, but you had to put a popsicle stick between your teeth or your lips, and you'd have to hold it. So whenever you would feel the popsicle stick move, you know you're moving your lips. So that's something that you had to do, is learn how to say the alphabet.
Besides Aiden, how many characters do you have, and how did you come up with them?
I have about 12 characters. A lot of my videos, you'll see Aiden, my dinosaur, and Crush, my turtle. I have Shoestrees, a dog. I have Cassie, a kangaroo, Carly, the koala, Lenny, he's a meerkat. I also have another character named Lenny, it's a shark. He's a lone shark, is what my dad calls him. And then I have a cat, his name's Henry. I have a skunk, her name is Ellis, L.S. So it stands for little stinker. and the other ones. I don't know if I counted Crush in there. No, I counted Crush in there already. What's another one that I have? I do have a few bird puppets. I don't really use them that often. It's like a dodo bird is what it is. It's a Vern is what it's called. I don't really have a name for it. Oh, I have Phil. He's a hamster. He doesn't really have a voice. He's just like, and then there's one more. In total in the house, I think we have around 60 puppets just because my dad has used them. But like, as far as my characters go, I only have about 12.
Do these characters represent you in any way?
Some of my friends, so whenever I'll be making fun of something, they'll notice that Crush's voice comes out like, oh yeah, I'm like, oh, then I'll just like say that. Then when I get super excited, they'll notice that Aiden's voice comes out like, your puppet's voices are coming out again. I'm like, no, they're not. But they always catch it, like certain sides of me, I guess, come through. So the more spiteful side, I guess, of me that's very like na-na-na-na-na is Aiden, I feel like. I think there's like, it's like almost an extension of a personality, but I have like totally twisted it into something else for the character to make the character itself. That's what makes the character so distinct from one another, is when you create your own personality for it. And that's what brings it to life, per se.
Who do you look for as a mentor or inspiration for your ventriloquism?
My dad was a big inspiration for me growing up. I look to him business-wise. He's the one who started Rocky Mountain Puppets, actually, and I took over it when I turned 16, 17 years old. So I've been running it for 11 years now. He has how long I've been running it. But my dad's a really big inspiration to me. Paul Winchell is also another really big inspiration. He is the voice of Tigger in Winnie the Pooh. He's also the creator of like the first artificial heart. I initially wanted to be a pediatrician that used puppets with kids that were afraid to go to the doctor. And I slowly realized that medical school was not for me, just because I really struggled with my undergrad. I got my undergrad at CSU in psychology. And I just realized that the sciencey side, my brain just wasn't wired for it. I'm very, very, very interested in the human body and everything, but my brain wasn't wired for that. But it was always an inspiration when it came to how Paul Winchell would like connect with his characters and like his cartoon voices he would do. So that was a really big inspiration for me. Terry Fader is also a really big inspiration. I saw him on America's Got Talent, and that's when I kind of made me want to start working more from a business aspect to like try and be seen and like make a difference in people's lives. Cause like, he's so funny and like, he's so amazing with impersonations. Like it blows my mind. I can only do Stitch's voice. Like that's the one impersonation I know I can do. He can do so many. And then Jeff Dunham is also really, really funny. There's a lot of people that have inspired me. There's a lot of people that have helped me along my journey to get where I am today. I can name a few more. Ken Groves is someone who taught me how to say the letter B. I don't know if anyone knows him, but Ken Groves is one. Peter Michaels is another one. There's so many ventriloquists out there. And Dan Horn, too. He's known for puppet manipulation. He brings characters to life that you watch the puppet, not the mouth. So there's all these little aspects in my life as a ventriloquist that has been inspired by other ventriloquists. So there's certain things I've liked that other ventriloquists have done that I wanted to kind of adapt and make it my own as well. But there's so many people out there, but those are just a few names.
Do you like Senior Wences and stuff like that?
Yes, I know Senior Wences. He has the talking mouth.
And Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy?
Yes, Edgar Bergen. He did the radio whatnot. Yeah. I did an interview with Candace Bergen, actually, when I was...
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I can't remember how old I was. My dad has a picture somewhere. It's with this crazy rat puppet and like alligator puppet of his, and I'm in a little safari outfit. But yeah, I did that. I think when I was in fourth grade is when I had the interview. I don't know if it ever aired or anything, but yeah, it was really cool to meet his daughter and whatnot.
In regards to your performances, how have you been dealing with COVID-19?
It's been rough. My business took a really big financial hit when the pandemic first happened. I learned a lot business-wise when it came to contracts. I had people sign my contracts, but I also had to sign their contracts. And they said with enough notice, they can withdraw like any sort of payment. When I realized that most of my income is over the summer is when I'm traveling a lot. Like I make over the summer what people typically make over the course of the year. So like that's my income. And I lost 242 shows out of the 260 shows that I had canceled. I didn't receive any sort of down payment, any sort of anything for it. So I've learned that you should take down payments when it comes to performing wise. But it was a really big hit, and it's been hard to get back up to where I was. I've been funding everything myself, what I can get with TikTok, YouTube, to keep my business running. And there's a lot of business expenses that are, you know, people that are small business owners definitely know about that you have to keep up on.
In one of your videos, speaking of COVID-19, you and Aiden decided to do a PSA. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, about the mask? PSA to wear a mask. Yep. My dad was on me to start making more videos. And I was doing stuff for Amazon Flex and just doing stuff that I could like earn money instantly. It's not about the money though. It's really about making a difference in people's lives for me. And I have discovered that teaching is something I really like doing. And it was making me mad when I seen people not wear masks correctly at the beginning of the whole thing. I'm like, it goes over your nose and your mouth. It doesn't just go over your mouth. It doesn't go like on the side of your face. It doesn't go around your neck. So made a video with Aiden on how to properly wear a mask.
In your TikTok and YouTube videos, your characters try to help you with many different tasks like driving, ordering food, skiing, and singing. Do they like to be helpful?
Yeah, they like to be helpful. I'm not sure if they really like being shoved inside backpacks like you're skiing. But it's kind of funny to see people's reactions. So I was skiing the other day. the reaction I got when I was in the slope. I'm like, is that a dinosaur in the back? Like, I heard someone mumble it. The kids are like, I was on the easier side because, like, I was trying to do like jumps and stuff because I tore my ACL a season and a half ago skiing, and I'm like getting back into it, so I wanted to try and do a baby jump. So I'm near a whole bunch of kids, so I feel more comfortable like having the puppet on that side of the mountain. We get to like where the black diamonds and stuff are. I feel like people are like, what is this lady doing? Why does she have this in her backpack? And then I'll do drive through videos, and I've had more instances where people are like, why do you have a puppet on your hand when I'm doing a drive-through video? But then there are some instances where people are like talking with the puppet, like thinking that it's real, and those are the ones that I tend to post. But there's a whole nother side, there's a whole bank of videos that I have that I have not posted, that just from trying to get reactions from people. But they like to be helpful, I guess.
In some of your videos, you like to add educational moments. Why do you like to do that?
A lot of my following is kids and parents, and I think using puppets when you are teaching is a great way to keep the kids engaged. One thing that I guess I'm really known for when it comes to performing at library shows, I do stuff for summer reading programs, and I also do school assemblies. I have been known to keep a 2-year-old engaged for 45 minutes. That is nearly impossible because, you know, the attention span of a 2-year-old, it yep. constantly is like switching up, but I'm also switching up characters a lot too. I'm constantly doing something new in my show whenever I'm doing my shows, which are 45 minutes long, like I said. But teaching using the puppets, I think, is a really great tool to keep the kids engaged. And they're also going to remember. I actually did a research study in college as far as humor when it came to remembering things. And kids, I had a little survey handed out to all the kids. This is my senior year of college. And the kids were able to remember more of the like stuff that they were teaching when something funny was attached to it. If you didn't attach something funny to it, the kids were not remembering it as much. So there's a whole bunch of details in that study of like how I did it. But that's something I learned when I did that.
You were a teacher. Why did you become a teacher?
So when I lost a lot of my shows, I was getting sick of sitting at home. I love making videos, but I'm getting sick of sitting at home. And I really miss the interaction. So whenever I'm performing, I love visiting with the crowds afterwards, the audience, interacting with the kids. I lost all of that when I wasn't able to perform in front of people. And I wanted to help people still. And my mom brought up like being a teacher. And my friend that I swam with in college, her mom is a teacher at a school that I started working at. And she told me that a position opened up. I was like, oh my gosh, yes, being a paraeducator right now would be perfect. I would get to work with kids. I would get to teach them. I would feel like I'm like doing some good. I know I was making the videos and whatnot online. I didn't know like if what I was doing was actually working. So I was able to bring my puppets into the school where I started working. They knew I was a ventriloquist. They knew I made all these videos. A lot of the kids at the school already followed me on TikToks. So like, oh my gosh, he works at the school. So that was really funny. But they loved it when I would bring the puppet in. I would do read aloud with them. I would teach math with them. I would do so many things with the puppets. And I was constantly getting requested in classrooms where it was like, hey, can you teach this lesson? Hey, can you teach this lesson? Because I'm also a certified substitute teacher as well. So I was like doing all these lessons and whatnot with the puppets, but I loved teaching, and I missed my job at the school. I recently left my job at that school I was working at to start focusing on my business full time, since things are starting to lighten up with COVID. I'm able to perform more now.
In one of the videos, you and Aiden read some of the letters that the students wrote to you when you left school. What was it like reading those letters for the video?
It was so heartwarming. It made me so happy seeing like the kids drawing. I wish I had them up here. They're downstairs right now, but the drawings they drew for one class, it was all these pictures of Aiden and I. And the drawings are just so sweet. And the letters are like, thank you for doing reading groups with us, Miss Megan. We loved like doing that. We like good luck with your career as a ventriloquist. So it's really nice having the support that I do from everyone that does watch my content. I can't thank everyone enough for how like the support that I receive from everyone is astonishing, and it makes me so happy. I love receiving stuff from my PO box too. Like, I've gotten stuff from my PO box as well, where people have drawn a picture of Aiden and I. So it's kind of like, it was like opening something out of my PO box. But these were kids that I like connected with, and I also to do, but I feel like I connect with anyone that sends me something in my PO box as well. I always try to write back to them as well, just because they took the time out of their day to write something.
Do you hope one day to use your ventriloquism to educate kids through like a TV show or something like similar?
Yes, that is my dream one day, is to have a TV show that teaches kids, adults. My humor, I feel like, is very Disney-ish. So some stuff goes right over the kids' heads and the adults are like, really? And they're like laughing at it. But I want everyone of all ages to enjoy it. But my goal is to have a TV show that teaches people about health, safety, fitness, and nutrition using puppets. And there's so many aspects in this world for health, safety, fitness, and nutrition that can be talked about. There's a lot of things in this world that can be talked and taught about. But yeah, that's my goal one day, is to have a TV show, hopefully with like PBS, Netflix, I don't know. Like
Sesame Street, right?
Yes, that, like Sesame Street, yep.
You have performed for Make-A-Wish Foundation and the Children's Hospital in Denver, Colorado. What is that like?
That's always a lot of fun doing that. I haven't done an event with them in a few years, but it's so fun going to do stuff for the kids because they don't get to see stuff like that all the time. They're cooped up in a hospital room. So, like when I go down to the children's hospital, they're cooped up in the hospital room. So they come downstairs to this like area where I perform, and I'll do a full show for them. And it's just so nice hearing them laugh, seeing them smile, know that I'm making their day a little bit better. And same for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I've done stuff for, there's like a walk that they do every year. I've done walk around with the puppets. I just interact with the kids and whatnot. And then there's this, it's a Christmas workshop that they do. And I perform at the Christmas workshop. But see these kids smile and laugh makes my day.
Do you ever, when you just go up by yourself, do you ever just have people come up to you and say, where are the puppets? Where are the puppets? Because they always see you with the puppets in the videos and stuff.
Yep. I've had people approach me before, but I was actually in Walmart one day and I was just walking around, like doing grocery shopping. And I hear, Megan Casey. I'm like, what? I just keep walking. Megan Casey. And I was like, okay, this is getting really weird. I ran away. Like I heard my name. I didn't know where it was coming from. 2 weeks later at the gym, he's like, hey, you're Megan, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, hi, I'm, and then he introduced himself and I watch your TikTok videos. I'm like, oh, nice. I was the one in Walmart a few weeks ago that was trying to get your attention.
Oh my.
Oh, hi, nice to meet you. Yeah, I was a little weirded out, not gonna lie, but there's been a few instances. I've done drive-through videos. I've gone to a few other like a few other drive-through places and they've seen my content before. Like, you're that ventriloquist on TikTok. So they like lose their mind whenever they see stuff. So being known is kind of cool. It shows that what I'm doing people like. So that's kind of cool.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now with all of this going on?
5 years from now, I see myself with that TV show happening. I'm working my butt off to make it happen. I'm hoping that posting consistently on YouTube will really help a lot. I've been posting on TikTok for quite some time now, but I kind of became a ghost on YouTube for a while. I wasn't really posting on there. I was like, I need to start making YouTube videos again, because that's where I can post longer than 3-minute videos. I can actually post full length videos, like a full lesson where people can learn things. And my stuff I know was used in a 5th grade classroom the other day that at the school I used to work at. They are learning about sea life and whatnot. So they used my turtle and seaweed video and like used it as part of their lesson. So I'm glad that it's been a really great teaching tool for teachers, but I see myself with that TV show in the next 5 years and being able to make a difference in a lot of people's lives.
Serious question. Jeff Dunham or Terry Fader?
Oh, that one's talked about a lot. Honestly, can't decide between the two. There's things about the both of them that I absolutely adore. I actually won Terry Fader's scholarship in 2013, the Clinton Detweiler Scholarship. And that's how I won my cat puppet, Henry. He's been really great insight as far as working on voices and yeah, coming up with voices and whatnot is kind of what I've used like Terry when I watch his stuff for, and like I'll kind of do a spinoff or something of it. Jeff, I really admire the business aspect. I know his humor is a little more crude. I know a lot of people don't watch him because his humor is more crude. And Terry is on the cleaner side. I feel like Terry does humor that I do typically. Jeff does humor that I don't do like at all. But from a business aspect, it's amazing what Jeff has built. Like it's absolutely amazing what he has, how he has made a name for himself. I've learned a lot from him actually at the Ventriloquist Convention. He's done lectures there and he's talked about his business, how he's brought up characters and all that stuff. I can't decide between the two, to be honest with you. That that's how I feel about both of them, in all honesty.
What's it like being a female ventriloquist in a world that's mostly with men?
Cool. Gosh, weird. I don't know. It's kind of cool. So I know Darcy Lynn, she won America's Got Talent a few years ago.
Yes.
And I actually remember when she came to the ventriloquist convention. She was on Little Big Shots. And this was, I think, before she was on AGT, but everyone knew her as like the famous ventriloquist that was like on the thing as Little Big Shots. And then she was on America's Got Talent the following year. She was in this workshop for Junior Vent University when she came, and I was like in the group with her. Like, I was helping teach when I was at the workshop, and she was in my group. And I remember seeing her like 2 years later on America's Got Talent. It's like, oh my gosh, I know her and I worked with her. So that was like kind of cool to see. And it's really cool, like being one of the few female ventriloquists. Sherry Lewis, I know, was like, is the really big female ventriloquist name that I know has like made it. I know of a lot of other female ventriloquists as well, but like Lynn Chefsteger actually is another one as well. She's hilarious. And then Liz Von Sagan is someone, actually, I'm not sure she lives in Englewood, Colorado anymore, but I learned voices and whatnot from her. She's like, she does stuff with voices. She does a lot of ministry shows and whatnot. But there are a lot of female ventriloquists that I know we lean on each other because there aren't that many of us. And we go to each other for like support and whatnot too. But a lot of the men are also very, very supportive. We all appreciate that.
I know you do voices for characters, but would you ever decide to go into voice acting for like cartoons and stuff like that? For TV shows?
Totally, I would do voice acting. Yeah, I would love to do voice acting. I have like my character's voices, like I already use it in a cartoon. I could totally use it in a cartoon. I'd probably have to move my lips if I was doing the voice acting for it to come through clearer on the audio. That's the one thing. I know with Edgar Bergen, his lip control ended up getting worse down the road when he was on the radio, because he started moving his lips when he was on the radio with the characters, like when he had Charlie McCarthy and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
On it. So that is the one thing that I would never want to happen, is my lip control to get bad by doing voice acting. But that'd be super cool to do.
Finally, where can people find more about you? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube,
yeah.
Website?
So my website is rockymountainpuppets.com. It's rockymountainpuppets.com. You can find a lot of my social media stuff there. So I'm on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. You go to TikTok and Instagram, my username is Megan M. Casey, MEGHANMCASEY. Then YouTube, you can just type in Megan Casey Ventriloquist, like spelled out my usernames, and I'll pop up. You'll find a lot of my stuff there. I have a Twitter. I don't really use it though. I kind of just use it to keep in tune with the news of what's going on. I have like one follower on there right now.
Do any of the characters have a Twitter?
No, none of the characters have a Twitter. I think it'd be funny if Aiden had a Twitter. I feel like Aiden having a Twitter would be the perfect like character to tweet about stuff.
Well, Megan, thank you for joining me on this episode of Let's Chat With.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great talking with you.